Massachusetts metal and punk.
You know those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom? What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
Oh, man. like a hunchback, juiced on a sentimental news. Operation Filth, they love to love the wealth of an SS whore making scary sounds.
Good morning. Welcome to Brewer Brunch here on WMFO Metro 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org.
And a blessed Sam Wayne.
You wanted to let that Taylor Swift play, but we had a show to set.
I was literally in the let you people in on the inside. I was in the prep room or whatever, but the green room, you know, where all the celebs come in, waiting to come into the studio. And the Taylor Swift song came out, and I'm like, hell yeah. And then, like, I didn't realize it was 9. Just kind of was chilling out.
So yes, it is Halloween weekend.
Getting old.
Don't get old, people. It's Halloween weekend.
Happy Halloween.
We kicked off with Rob Zombie. That was Living Dead Girl off of Hellbilly Deluxe.
Hell yeah.
And we have a pretty packed show today because... Were you going to say something?
No, we have a guest.
We do have a guest. We have Diva Carr. They will be live in studio right around the 10 o'clock hour. So before that, we will be fitting in most of the normal segments of the show, including This Week in Metal History, or These past 2 weeks in Metal History.
2 weeks in Metal History, baby.
The... Metal concert calendar.
Yep.
Of course, we'll be talking horror movies.
Yep. Start a lot of
little wrestling.
Movies.
And brutal or not brutal. So.
I can start my campaign in the war against Halloween. I'm going to be the Bill O'Reilly of the war against Halloween.
So, why don't you talk about the war against Halloween? What offends you?
There was we were at a party last night, and like they were saying one of the people there has the kids in their neighborhood. It's in Haverhill. Was it Haverhill? Mm-hmm. In Haverhill, they do Halloween like the Saturday of Halloween, meaning here's the official trick-or-treat time. You will trick-or-treat from 7 to 8, and that is it. And then, like, the cops come out and shut it down. I'm like, is this a joke? Like, Halloween is the greatest holiday because it is...
It is the greatest holiday.
I want to say it's unconnected to religions, but obviously it is connected to a religion. But it's just, like, an excuse to go out, meet your neighbors, like, in a friendly way, in, like, a really limited interaction to say, hello, here's some candy, haha, so funny. You know, what a fun costume. What the hell? There was that, which really made me sad. There was the Switch Witch, which I heard about 2 years ago.
I'd never heard about. That's
so
ridiculous.
It's a new, like, marketing thing from, like, Silicon Valley or whatever. But you get a Switch Witch, which is like a little witch doll. And then you get your candy, give it to the witch. And then she turns it into, meaning the parents, turn it into, like, not candy. Like, oh, now it's a iPod or whatever.
Why would you do that?
Well, you don't want your kids to eat candy or whatever. If you're like Tom Brady's kids, and it's not like avocado candy, and they'll get sick, their little bellies. I mean, in fairness, I had a bunch of Whoppers last night, and my stomach doesn't feel
gross.
Super great.
I do think candy's kind of gross. That's like my least favorite part of Halloween is actually trick or treating.
Matt's doing the straight edge symbol all over the room right now.
But that the thing with the trick-or-treating on like the Saturday before isn't totally unique to that.
No, I know. I just, I don't know. Or like trick-or-treating in a mall but we were talking too, like Maggie, lives in a very kind of way out, it's not like far out of Worcester, but it's like, it's hard to get to, so you couldn't like walk from house to house per se, you know, because you'd have to be walking on like a pretty busy road with no sidewalk. So I can see stuff like that, but I don't know. Like my sister's kid, they had to like, they were trick-or-treating at like a daycare in, at literal fake houses, at like playhouses, you know?
Yeah. Because I at one point lived sort of down the street.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
And they used to, because it is just spidering roads. Like, yeah. There's barely no downtown. Right. There's no sidewalk, but they would bus kids in. Maybe not literally, but I remember I turned onto my street at night, Halloween, and there were kids everywhere. It was like an infestation. There were like just kids in costume everywhere. I had no idea where they came from because it was a house or it was a street with like 15 houses on it.
Yeah.
In Paxton, and these people, it was more than the population of Paxton was on that street trick or treating. Sam from Trick or Treat would not approve of.
No,
he would not approve of the Switch Witch.
No.
All right,
I'm Sam. He's another short guy hero. <That's right. laughs> Add him to the list.
And so we had a couple wrestlers make appearances last night.
Yeah, I dressed as La Parca. I think I threatened this last show. The costume was an unbelievable success, even though like maybe two people knew who I was. Mm-hmm. One of them is Matt. The other one was Maggie. Because I told Maggie, I'm like, I'm La Parca. Look at all these fun videos of him dancing, and the crowd loves him. It's a really easy costume, because you just get a skeleton, one of those like cheap skeleton bodysuits, basically, and then the mask, and that's basically it. Then the rest is just accessories.
Exactly.
And Matt went as Raven. He got complimented by a stranger.
Stranger.
That was a great Raven.
The best Raven he's ever seen. And a townie at a local bar.
Better than the actual Raven, even, maybe.
All right, so let's get into some music. We have... Because it's Halloween, and because we've expanded our reach beyond just Boston, we do have some Boston bands we can play. But we're going to play some bigger bands as well. So we're going to start off with a cover. We will play the band that the song originally as well. But first, my favorite version of this song, not the Murphys, but AFI doing Halloween by the Misfits. And you're listening to Real Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
With a scuffle of the stone, I remember Halloween. just at Halloween that the flesh eaters come out. Those who fancy the taste of decomposing corpses are among us all year long. See the blood on their plates, the stench of seared flesh on their bacon sandwiches, the chicken fat on their lips. Escape now! Run screaming from the curse of the meat eaters! Heart attack, cancer, stroke! Save yourself and all those animal lives! Go vegan now! Free recipes at PETA.org.
That is The Devil Wears Prada. With the chainsaw. Yeah. And that band, unfortunate backstory with their name. They had no idea that that was a book, and they heard the movie The Devil Wears Prada, and they're like, ooh, that's a good metaphor to use for our Christian metal.
It makes sense. It still makes sense. It's not their fault. And the movie makes sense. Both titles make sense.
Well, there you go. Then.
We can all get along here. It's not a big deal.
So that was Escape off of their Zombie EP, which came out about 7 years ago now. A collection of five songs about a zombie apocalypse, which makes it perfect for Halloween weekend.
Zombies are played out, fam. Folks.
That's why you got to find...
Folks.
I agree.
I'm here to say the
get
new...
Get the Walking Dead out of you.
The new villain is hopping Chinese Dracula demons. You got to throw rice on the floor. It's going to be the new hot thing. I'm telling you, what's your hopping Chinese demon scenario? How are you gonna survive that? You better have a lot of rice so you can throw it on the floor because you have to count it.
Thank you for that PSA.
You're welcome.
Before that, we had the Misfits with Night of the Living Dead, and then we had a band before that covering the Misfits. That was Halloween. That was AFI off their All Hallows EP.
Very good.
And now it's time, I believe, for this.
It's time, baby.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Woo! This week in metal. Actually, 2 weeks.
Do you want a Halloween
metal.
Bed? Do you want a?
I'll take any kind
creepy
of bed.
Bed. Or do you want this bed?
Give me a creepy bed. I sleep in a creepy bed. It's got spiders on it and ghouls. I can start out too. October 15th, 1984. We were just talking about these guys because I said they were on the list today. Sweaty Leather Daddy's Manowar released Sign of the Hammer. I was telling Matt, Manowar is like in the realm of like this kind of music, like this like era where I'm like, this is funny. Oh, interesting choice of tubular bells later also. This is Sign of the Hammer. This is Guyana, Cult of the Damned, in quotes, a song about the People's Temple Group suicide in Northern Guyana, also known as Jonestown.
We'll be getting to Manowar later too.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Some news about this.
October 16th, Matt, you ready for this?
No.
Virgin Steel releases the album The House of Atreus Act 2. This is extremely me. This is the second part of the final of a metal opera inspired by Orestesia, the Greek tragedies written by Aeschylus, which concerns the curse on the House of Atreus. The soundtrack, they actually performed this live from 99 to 2001. The Mengenheim Opera House, I don't know, in Germany somewhere, obviously. But obviously, symphonic power metal with an entire symphony. This is Nemesis. You know he's after Jill Valentine?
Yes.
October 16th, 1985, death metal band Possessed releases the album Seven Churches. Referring to the seven churches of Asia mentioned in the Book of Revelation. This is the song The Exorcist, which features the beginning of Tubular Bells. I found a fact about them. It says about.com listed them, this album, in the list of 10 essential death metal albums. It's very this era. I'm going to try to skip forward to... Never mind that. October 16th, 1985, Creator released their debut album, Endless Pain. The album kicks ass. Creator kicks ass. The album cover is...
This is the...
A Viking demon man stomping on someone's face with like a double-ended sword slash spear. There's a lot of blood and snow. It's very Creator.
This is the moment your life's purpose was born.
I think so. This is Storm of the Beast. Man, it's so good. They were touring, right? They were on that Decibel, whatever. Wasn't there like a big magazine or something that put on a tour of like these kind of this age guy? Uh-huh. Like, and Creator was headlining.
They have a new album this year.
Hell yeah, they got that Vavitch-inspired Satan is Real music video. Hey, speaking of our boys, 2006, Hammerfall released the album Threshold. You might know this as the other bed we usually play. Oh man, Hammerfall kicks so much ass. I was so happy to find them when we were doing this list, and then like following the lead singer on Twitter, and he's like very inspirational and helpful to his fans.
He loves when people like, send photos, and
you send a photo, or you're like, "Oh, I'm feeling pretty bad today." He's like, "Don't feel bad, feel good." remember, it's all in your heart. October 19th, 1982, a British metal band, Samson, releases the album Before the Storm with new vocalist, Ricky Storm. Ooh. Matt, who did Ricky Storm replace in Samson? This is a Biceps of Steel off the top because that's the funniest possible thing you could have. It's like a parody of itself. Matt, any guesses?
I have no guesses.
He replaced Bruce Dickinson, who had gone on to join Iron Maiden. Man, Samson's hilarious. Also important, Matt, October 21st, 2002, sweet, sweet good boy, King Diamond, releases the album The Puppet Master. This is obviously a concept album, as they want to do. A concept album storyline of a tale of a young couple who go to watch a puppet show in Budapest in the 1700s, which is...
Obviously.
And they end up being turned into undead puppets by the puppet master and his wife. This is the ritual off of The Puppet Master by our boy, King Diamond. You feeling this? Are you feeling this part? Are you feeling it now?
I'm feeling this part right now.
Are you
not
feeling
anymore.
This part? Ooh, I'm a puppet now! I can't believe it! Anyway, good news though, man. Honestly. Because... On October 21st, 1987, King Diamond releases the album Abigail, which is their first concept album. This album kicks ass. I mean, like, I understand, you know, like, the way that the man sings out of the top of his nose. This is the story of the young couple, Miriam Natsia, also in the 1700s, or I'm sorry, 1800s. Miriam Natsia and Jonathan...
Oh, my God.
And Jonathan LaFay, which is obviously like Anton LaFay because he's a Satanist priest at this point of his life. They're warned, they're moving into an estate and they're warned about a ghost that lives there. And it turns out it's the spirit of an aborted child. And she comes back. And then the wife, the marriage breaks down. And then eventually the baby is born, and it's Abigail. Boom.
Ooh.
Demon baby.
Wait, now, though. It's the spirit. So is it like, is it an apparition or is it a poltergeist?
It's a demon. It's not a poltergeist.
Okay.
I guess it would be called a, I mean, it's a haunting. Right? Because poltergeist is what? In the house?
Poltergeists are invisible, but they move things around. Apparitions you see.
It is more like an apparition, but in terms of, it's not like a ghost. It is definitely a demon.
I see. But of the baby, aborted baby, so like...
Of her, well, she's like the vessel for the thing. He keeps trying to come back through the baby. King Diamond rules.
I did see a King Diamond skate deck at in Amsterdam one time.
Hell yeah.
For sale.
Abigail does come back also in later King Diamond concept albums. October 24th, 2000, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho releases his debut album with Fozzy. A friend of ours and former co-host, Jonathan Corbett, thinks that Fozzy's a legitimately good band and has seen them many, many times and goes backstage often. They do a lot of covers. It's kind of like dad metal camp, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is them doing a cover of SOS by ABBA, which I actually really think is pretty good. I'm going to let it play through a little bit. All right.
Ooh.
Right? Armbar. I'm going to let this play because I don't have a song for this next one, which is October 26, 1981. It's the first live concert with Bruce Dickinson and Iron Maiden. October 26, 96 is the first Ozfest. Any guesses as to the lineup besides like Sabbath and Ozzy?
I was going to say Ozzy.
Sabbath and Ozzy.
Is Korn on there?
No. '95. No, not what?
Wait, '95 or 96? You said '96.
'96.
Man, that's like right before all the new metal bands came
tough.
Out. It's like this is not the Ozfest I
was
really tuned to.
So it's Marilyn Manson got added.
Ah, okay.
Makes Pantera, sense. Typo Negative, Fear Factory, and Machine Head.
Nice.
And
Machine Head was it?
Yeah, and Power Man 5000 was also in there.
Oh, wow. That was before they broke out.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like nobodies at that point. Oops. I screwed my tabs up, guys. Don't worry, though. Matt, did you think that you were going to escape Halloween? Because you did not. October 26, 1985, Halloween releases the album Walls of Jericho.
That's perfect after.
It is. This is Ride the Sky. There's a lot of, like... this album has a lot of, like, clips from old, like, Warner, like, monster movies.
Okay.
Like, Bride of Frankenstein and stuff like that. It's very silly. And then it goes like this. Man, Halloween kicks so much ass. Formed in October 27th, 85, Celtic Frost released the album To Megatherion. Formed in 81 as Hellhammer. They were Celtic Frost in 84 till 93. In 2001, disbanded in ultimately in 2006. The former bassist Martin Ain passed away on the 21st of last week. It's pretty sad. Very young. Mm-hmm. And like was pretty much like well loved. I mean, like pretty much like widely loved by everyone. Like the kind of the stuff that came out after he passed was like pretty nice. He had been kind of like out of the public eye since like 06, and he'd been they said he was hosting like basically a karaoke night and like people were just like, he's great, I love Martin, he doesn't care. This is Beyond the North Winds by Celtic Frost. Obviously kind of a blackish, I guess, you know, it's kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as they like got out of this era, it became more doom and like a band that changed a lot is interesting about Celtic Frost. October 27th, 1980, Motorhead releases Ace of Spades.
Uh-oh.
Skip.
Not in my Hall of Fame.
It's in my Hall of Fame. We went to that karaoke place in Cambridge. I don't know that place.
I don't either.
I can't ever
remember.
A couple months ago. And a guy was doing Ace of Spades, and I was like, here we go. This is the place.
He did kill it.
He did.
I'll give him that.
It's not easy to do. Hey Matt, do you think Hammerfall was done? You're wrong. October 28, 2002.
I was hoping they weren't.
Hammerfall releases the album Crimson Thunder. It's the best song in the album. It's called Hearts on Fire.
It's not a cover of that other song, Hearts of Fire, from Top
from
Gun.
Rocky? Oh no.
Or was it Rocky?
Yeah. No, it's not a cover. Frank
Rocky
Stallone.
4?
If anything, Frank Stallone is inspired by Hammerfall. The video is amazing too. I think I've talked about this. It's the Hammerfall boys, they're reading a CGI book, and then it summons a CGI skeleton to fight a dragon. There's so many songs I could leave to have you read through the history thing, but I might leave it on this. I might. But anyway, that's This Week in Metal History.
Excellent.
Man, it's so good. You know what, though? Honestly, for you, I'm going to go play a little Abigail.
I have master control, though, which is good. Also, before we get to the concert calendar, we're giving away tickets
to
two different shows. One is with Cattle Decapitation Revocation on November 3rd. That's Friday. And a couple days later, Despised Icon. So you can call in. Numbers here, 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. All you do is get a call. You will win.
I'm actually the Despised Icon.
You are.
I'm an icon. People don't like me.
Pig Squail alumni. Pig Squail of the Week alumni. All right, concert list now. Starting tomorrow, the 29th, at O'Brien's Pub, you can see Soul Remnants, Mourn, Scafism, and Cynicism. Monday at O'Brien's is Pathogenic, Vivisulpture, The Beast of Nod, and Graviton. At the Sinclair, you can see Goblin, yes, the Goblin from Suspiria, and Morricone Youth.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How is a goblin? How are they around today?
They're very old Italian people, and
that's
amazing. They still tour.
My people.
On Halloween at O'Brien's Pub, you can see Van Raylen.
Nice.
Can you guess what tribute band that is? Fugazi set by Ghosts of Sailors at Sea, a Prince set by Bedtime Magic, and also a Weezer set. Bright Music Hall has Boris. It's a 25th anniversary tour of Deer, along with Endon and Mutoid Man. And Once has Warning, along with Mourn. Thursday, the 2nd at Ralph's, is Metal Thursday with Immolation. That is quite a get for that venue. Outer Heaven, Desolate, and Summoning Hate.
Wow.
Immolation is playing with Mayhem.
Yeah.
In New York. We will in see December. Them. Friday the 3rd. As I said, you can see Cattle Decapitation with Revocation, Full of Hell, Artificial Brain.
You can see it for free, fools.
By calling in. They're playing at once. Next Saturday at the Palladium, it's Arch Enemy, Trivium, While She Sleeps, Fit for an Autopsy. O'Brien's Pub is Rebuilder, Dead Bar, Settler, and Loser's Circle. One says Brujeria with Power Flow, Pinata Protest, and In the Shit. The Pillars, Elton Brockton, has Scream Blue Murder, Altered Perceptions. At Ralph's, you can see Black Tomb, Fuming Mouth, Mourn, Heaven's Die, and Death Metal Poop. And 13-4 Music Lounge has Forceps as a band out of Brazil, along with Incontinence, Burial, and Toke.
Terrifying.
Next Sunday, at the Orpheum, it's Evanescence. At once, you can see Primitive Man with Bellwitch, Churchburn, and Upheaval. Sammy's Patio has Untombed, Ashes of Agony, Forceps, Screams of Hockamock, and the Beast of Nod. Yes.
Is Chad Kroeger going to be... Wait, was it Chad? Who did the song from Spider-Man with Evanescence? Who was the guy who showed up?
You're talking about the guy from... Wait, there's a guy from Seether and the guy from... what's their names? Saliva.
Josie Scott.
Josie Scott.
Yeah. Is he going to be there?
He will not be there, as far as I know.
Damn it. R.I.P. Josie Scott's bathroom from the old Toucher and Rich show.
Let's see. Monday the 6th. You can see Despise Icon and On Broken Wings. You can also go to that show for free for calling right now. Tuesday the 7th at Great Scott, it's Yautja, along with Peron and Vaulted. Thursday, November 9th, you can see The Proletariat, the 80s hardcore band out of Boston, with Kevin Seconds, Black Beach, and Funeral Cone. O'Brien's Pub has Make War, Good Friend, and Great Lakes USA. And on Friday, November 10th, at Midway Cafe, it is Ghosts of Sailors at Sea, just them, not doing a cover set, Brown Lasers, Mini Beast, and The Modern Voice. Great Scott has Kicked in the Head and Rebuilder. A lot of bands you can see a couple times over the next couple weeks. And Saturday, it's a big one, November 11th, 1st, at Midway Cafe. It's a hardcore and punk Veterans Day benefit matinee with the Welch Boys of Damage, Held Hostage, Outlive Death, and Working Poor USA. Great Scott has Kicked in the Head again with Don Hurt and Tied to a Bear. Ralph's has Attacker, Eye Destroyer, Iron Will, Sayax, and Graviton. Oh, at Hawks and Reed Performing Arts Center in Greenfield, it is New England Neck Wrecker with Lich King, Snafu, Goblet, Los Bungalitos, Black Mass, Horrible Earth, Grind of the Dead, Jeopardy, One Ton, Tommy Gun, Epicenter, and Maniacal Violator. Finally, at Sammy's Patio, you can see Lost of the Waves, Patient Zero, Unlimited Warfare, Deer Hollow, False Ambitions, and Empire. So there you go.
All I didn't your get shows to say my next official 2 weeks. Brujeria makes me a scared. They're a very scary band. And you should see them.
And that's that. And now...
Changed it from Abigail to Creator.
Well, there you have another song you play.
That's true, which I have to queue up. Sorry, guys. Black Metal Song of the Week is In Memory of Martin Ain. It is Dying God. Coming into Human Flesh from Celtic Frost's final album, Monotheist. It's Blackish. Where's that? To pause this for a second. Yeah, it's great vocals, great song. It's really haunting. A little slower than kind of the way that I fall on like the black metal, whatever you want to call it.
The black metal
continuum,
spectrum.
The spectrum. Whereas I'm, industrial, I guess. Anyway, here we go. Martin Ain, Dying God, Coming into Human Flesh from Celtic Frost's final album, Monotheist. Black Metal Song of the Week.
Frozen. She's in love with herself. She likes the dark. And on her milk white neck, the devil's mark. Now it's All Hallows Eve. Moon is full. Or will she trick or treat? I bet she will. She's got a daylight speed light with those for that too. Oh,
to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Midford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That, of course, was Type O Negative. All right, Peter Steele. That was Black Number One. Little Mascara from Bloody Kisses.
Blue.
And before that, we had Celtic Frost with the Dying God coming into human flesh off of Monotheist.
How'd you like it?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good, excellent black metal song of the week.
Doomish metal. Well, don't go on YouTube because they're fighting each other. the internet commenters are there to defend exactly the definitions of what music is. So.
All right. So now we'll set the mood, because we want to talk about some horror movies.
Let's
especially
talk about
a shocking
movies.
Ending that you saw for the first time, even though you knew it was happening.
I did know it was happening. Want me to start out with that?
Sure.
As a fan of classic things, a big blind spot for me in horror was Sleepaway Camp, which is like, it's one of those things that's like a cult classic, and you gotta watch it, and oh my god, the ending will blow your mind. So the ending was spoiled for me. I don't know if I want to spoil it for the people here, though, but suffice to say, there is an ending, and it, I knew what the ending was, but I was like, but why? Like, other than that, it's a fun, dumb slasher movie where you're kind of rooting for the slasher, because all the people who are getting slashed are like, well, you're garbage.
That's true.
I hope you get burned with oil, whatever, pedophile chef. The ending is supposed to be like, aha, see? And I was wondering, like, okay, I see that that's the ending. And I'm watching it with that in mind. And then I'm like, oh, they don't ever... they explain why, but it is irrelevant to the plot, which is revenge. It's just like, oh, no, she just went crazy. That's why. And I'm told there are two sequels to it. Three sequels
to it. So two stars Angela... She gets dubbed the Angel of Death.
Yep.
She is in the next two, and then the next one is like 15 years later. I believe it's the original actress of, not from the first one, but from the sequels, comes back. And, yeah.
Could you spoil it, I guess? It doesn't matter.
Sure.
The movie's 30. Well, it's almost 40 years.
You've given them a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, dorks. So the concept is a cousin and his boy cousin, girl cousin, get sent off to camp. Well, the beginning of the movie starts with like an accidental murder.
Right. You got to set it up.
There's a boating accident. Father, I believe, is killed, and one of his two kids. The boat tips over. Kind of like drunk teens are driving a speedboat or something, and they just like crash. You don't see anything, but
it's implied that the boy. So there's like a brother and sister.
A brother and sister.
The brother gets killed as well.
Implied the brother is dead. He goes to live with the sister. Goes to live with his aunt, who's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sister. That's the twist. The brother survived. So it also, because we brought up last night at a party, and they were like, really problematic depictions of like transgender stuff. Because twist, the mom, the aunt, wants to raise the son as a girl.
She wanted a daughter or something. Yeah.
Dresses him like a girl, you know, puts him in girls' camp. So the end of the movie is the shocking end of the movie is this child is nude. There's a new child. So that's shocking to me personally. I didn't want to see nude child. And then you see full male genitalia. And that was the shock. And I kind of was like, I already knew that was coming.
And the face that he's making, too, is
the
crazy.
Face is odd. And it was the weird voiceover thing.
There's that, and he's holding the head of the kid.
He
that
ripped that kid's head off for some reason. The kid who was nice to her. A fun movie with a crazy ending, I guess is what I would say about Sleepaway Camp. The thing that I did like about Sleepaway Camp, as I was talking about, is the male fashion. Because it's the early 80s, like early 80s, or maybe even late 70s, but the camp counselors are wearing the most outrageous half shirts. Like, the guy is like, "What's up, fellas?" And he just walks in with, like, just barely covering, like, the guy's nips, and he's just, like, bossing these kids around. So, we're going to play some softball today. And, like, all right, dude.
He was really nice, though, too.
He was the nicest guy, but he had, like, everything he wore was the most outrageous piece of clothing you could possibly wear. Sleepaway Camp. It was fun. What about you? What have you been watching? Besides every movie.
I watched... let me check. Sleepaway Camp was 1983.
Okay. But you know how like the early 80s was basically the 70s?
Yes.
In terms of style.
So Cult of Chucky is the seventh movie, I believe, in Child's Play. Is hilarious.
It's
excellent. Like, legitimately fun.
Yeah.
Good. Definitely watch it. Brad Dourif's real-life daughter is one of the stars now. They also bring back Andy, the original actor of Andy from the first two movies. And then the post-credit scene, they bring back another character from the second movie.
Unbelievable.
So it's great. Jennifer Tilly is obviously in it.
Yes.
And at this point, she's Tiffany, but she's confusing her name because she doesn't know if she's Jennifer or Tiffany. Which is
she's actually herself.
Self-referential treatment they picked up starting with the fourth movie.
Yeah, that's funny.
Kind of jumping on the screen bandwagon. But that was good. What else did I see? Ghost House, which was starring Scout Taylor Compton from... the Halloween remakes, Rob Zombie's Laurie Strode.
I didn't see those.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
Rob Zombie can be a little ponderous sometimes with directing.
He has like one and a half good movies. Happy Death Day. was also
people are loving
a fun,
that thing.
Fun movie.
Yeah, people are loving it.
Life was good. Life is underrated, I think, because it didn't. It was. I don't think it made back its budget in the U.S., but it was good. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Movie?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and yeah.
Oh, okay. A lot of big stars.
Yeah. The Snare was really bad. Again, this movie is like a low-budget movie, and at this point, you don't... I mean, there's actually been a lot of stuff written about it, especially recently, in light of all the allegations coming out about various people, but, like, you don't need rape in movies anymore. Like, stop trying to be shocking. That movie was disgusting, too. You can look up on IMDb the trivia about the method acting that went into it and what the director would do to the... So there's, like, three principal actors, two women and a man, and, yeah, in terms of just, like, really gross stuff. So I would not recommend The Snare. It's also just bad. And Ghost House, as I was saying, takes place in Thailand.
Okay.
It's actually...
is it a Thai movie?
No, it's a U.S. movie. And it's decent. It's much better than the last movie to take place in Thailand. I believe it was in Thailand. Also about a ghost house was Pernicious, one of the all-time worst movies I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad.
They're just going right to the dictionary looking for words. I'm always interested in like foreign horror movies too, because I kind of have the beats down of like most mainstream American horror movies. Like I'm like, okay, now this is gonna happen. That's why like the Italian horror movies from the 70s are like really off, because like there's something off about the timing too that adds to the like, oh, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, what's happening? Ugh. Whereas like it's basically just like a Jason type movie, right? Like From Beyond, right? It's ghosts and demons and stuff, and you kind of know what's going to happen. And if it was an American movie, I'd be like, yeah, but it's just like, it's delayed. It's like slower in a way, and that makes it worse. Like, I want more like boom, boom, slow, boom, boom, slow. And then in these movies, you're like, it's like jazz.
Yeah.
It's like horror movie jazz when you watch like foreign horror films, because you're so used to like being fed like the adrenaline thing of like the American horror movie goes this way, and then other horror movies go this way. It makes it much different for some reason. I found that with Train to Busan, which I found to be boring.
Oh, terrible. Actually, we had the party we were at last night. Found a kindred spirit.
Yeah, crazy. You never know, right? Well,
yeah, I watched a ton of recent horror movies.
Yeah,
of course, I had to bust out my list of 85 movies from last year to scroll through that.
What else did I watch? I saw
you had a nice experience with the Joe Dante series.
So I didn't realize it was a series, but I was like, oh, Joe Dante, the Gremlins man, Gremlins 2. It's called Splatter. I guess it was a web series. I didn't realize that. It didn't say web series when I clicked on it on Netflix. It just said like Splatter, Corey Feldman's in it, Candyman. And I'm like, hell yeah, Corey Feldman and the Candyman. And it's just bad. It's just bad. So I guess this is an episode? And it was like Corey Feldman was a rock and roll guy and he killed himself, but then he became a demon and then he killed all his bandmates and tricked them and he came back to life. But it was very rote. It was like... So the plot was like he invited all the bandmates to the house and people who had wronged him.
Okay.
And then he's like, and now you're gonna see me die. And then he's like, and I'm gonna give you guys just what you deserve. And he's like, for stealing all my stuff, you know, go to the bedroom, blah, blah, blah. And then they just do it. Like, they don't try to leave. They don't try to fight him in any way. Like, the characters are actively bored with trying to, like, solve the mystery of, like, why is Corey Feldman killing us?
Well, you also saw one episode, right?
I thought it was a movie. that they just go and die. They're like, well, I guess it's my turn to die. See ya. Except for the Candyman at the end, because he solves it and then signs Corey Feldman to Zombie Band.
Nice. Well, I think how too, you were talking about, you saw a couple of minutes Cult of Chucky. You thought it was the beginning, but it's the very end.
Cult of Chucky was apparently the very, very end.
You're like, end. Oh yeah, Andy's in an insane asylum.
Yeah, I dropped it off. I dropped something at my dad's house and put it on, it was on AMC. It's so funny.
Monster
like
Fest.
AMC is like, there's a scene where like a woman stomps a man's head.
Uh-huh.
It does not cut away. You just see the heel of her shoe deforming a man's face and blood and gore pouring out of his head. And then they're like, gotta bleep the F word, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of Chucky's dialogue will be lost on AMC.
That's the thing. I'm like, oh, I can't have, like, salty doll, but I can see, like, an anatomy.